Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Well, every single Friday at this time, we're joined by Matt Smith, Smitty of Sports Talk Media Network, to talk Clemson, to talk South Carolina, to talk anywhere else we may go, wherever we may venture, whatever road we decide to take a sharp left on. Smitty is gracious enough to join us every single Friday during football season. We love talking to Smitty of Sports Talk Media Network. Smitty, hope you're doing well, man. Look, we're going to get into Clemson. We're going to get into South Carolina. But I want to start by congratulating you on a World Series victory. You are a diehard Los Angeles Dodger fan. But I want to ask, can you make me feel better about one of my favorite baseball players, Smitty, and Freddie Freeman? And what I mean is, Freddie Freeman was an incredible Atlanta Brave, right? He won a world championship there. Braves fans adored Freddie Freeman. But my biggest concern and worry, Smitty, is that Freddie Freeman, a decade from now when he's in the Hall of Fame, nobody will remember Freddie Freeman as an Atlanta Brave. I mean, you go back, and I'm going to throw a name at you. Reggie Jackson, Smitty, nine seasons, a six-time All-Star in Oakland. He won an MVP. They won three world championships in a row, but nobody remembers Reggie Jackson and his time in Oakland. They think Reggie Jackson, oh, New York Yankees. Is that going to happen with Freddie Freeman?
Oh, you're actually making me feel bad because I was a Freddie Freeman fan while he was an Atlanta Brave. I would tell anyone that would listen, I loved his approach. He was underrated defensively, made everybody around him better, then made everybody in the lineup around him better because he just did everything you wanted a hitter to do out of the batter's box. And he's a heady base runner when he gets on. I always thought he was just the consummate professional hitter. He was a guy, I said, I don't know if he's going to be the best hitter in base, you know, when he's with the Braves. I don't know if he's the best hitter this year, but over a five-year stretch, he's the best hitter because he's going to, you know, post the numbers he can bat anywhere in the lineup, and then he's also going to hit for a high average. He's going to take walks. He's got a slow heartbeat. He's absolutely clutch, which has only played out, which has only been amplified since he joined the Dodgers. But you have really hurt me because I look at Freddie Freeman and I see what you see, which is the split, the two separate careers, which is probably what Reggie Jackson's contemporaries thought. They thought, well, Reggie Jackson will always be remembered as both an A and a Yankee.
Right.
And you're right. When the highlights come on, it's all Yankees. The three home runs in the World Series against the Dodgers, where he stuck his hip out when they were trying to double him off first base and Steve Garvey had to go chase the ball. It's all Yankees all the time. And this is a guy, you laid it out. Six-time All-Star, three consecutive world championships with the Oakland Athletics.
Yeah.
That's a career.
Right.
That's a career. That's Fred McGriff's career, right? I mean, that's as good as Fred McGriff ever would have done right there. And we don't even blink that that he is fully enshrined as a Yankee and then fully cemented in everyone's memory. I'm looking for – I mean, look, Freddie Freeman won a World Series with the Braves. And Atlanta is not a backwater baseball team. As big as the Dodgers are, and as big as they are probably in your mind right now, because we're living in a moment when they just won consecutive world championships, Atlanta's big, man. I mean, that's America's team for a lot of people. I think Freddie Freeman will be remembered as a Brave because it's not the Brewers. You know, it's not the Mariners. It's a big, big, big franchise. But you're right about one thing. When the highlight reels come on, Freddie Freeman now has two walk-off home runs, one a grand slam, and one of them and another one to close out an 18-inning marathon. And then the Dodgers won both those World Series.
Right.
And in one of them, he was named MVP. So, yes, I think he'll be remembered as a Brave, but I think he'll be more remembered as a Dodger. And I honestly, I don't feel – as a Dodger fan, I don't feel good about that because I think Freddie Freeman belongs to the Braves and the Dodgers. I'll share him with you.
Smitty, you can collect all those tears, all those crocodile tears inside the trophy that you're hauling around.
Right.
You know, come on.
Yeah, it's easy
come
to be on. Humble when you when your team wins.
That's,
when your team wins,
that is laying it on
right.
thick.
Yeah.
Smitty, maybe you've heard of this this person I'm about to bring up. Have you ever heard of Sir Isaac Newton? Great guy, made a fortune in physics. He had a statement that says, "What goes up must come down." But unfortunately, I don't know that that's the case when it comes to coaching salaries in college football. They just keep going up. But we're seeing something really interesting happening right now. We're seeing the schools that are traditionally the have-nots, that have more than others, but traditionally are have-nots, they're circling the wagons and they're protecting their own. Brent Key came out and said, "Cut me, see what color I bleed." He's basically saying, "I'm not leaving Georgia Tech. I'm not going anywhere." We know what happened with Cignetti at Indiana and Matt Rhule at Nebraska. So, you know, there's still the LSU job sitting open. There's still the Florida job sitting open, Penn State, Arkansas. A lot of big high-profile jobs out there. In any way, shape, or form, could you see what's happening at those schools in their own microcosm being a market correction on where they go with their salaries? Or are they going to have to pay somebody an even more exorbitant amount of money to take that job? Do you see the salaries ever coming back down to a level that makes sense? Or will this thing only go one direction, which is up?
This is actually a very good discussion. Now, I do think what you're saying, when I'm going to change your question a little bit.
Okay.
Because the short answer to your question is I do think salaries will continue to climb. Okay, I do believe that. But you're making an excellent point, which is like Clark Lea at Vanderbilt and Brent Key and other schools like this that may be able to hold on to their coaches for a variety of reasons. You know, might be alma mater, might be the right fit. And this is what I've always believed, that these athletic directors and schools, so far too frequently do they go after the hot name instead of looking for the right long-term fit. When you hire a mercenary, well, here's what you've done. You've already admitted that they're a mercenary, which means when you're no longer the top gun, the highest paid job, they're going to wipe their feet on you and take the next highest paid job because you've already agreed on that that's how you hire and that's why they took the job. I think you've got to look for the right fit. I tell you what I do think will change, however, to your question, what might change is I do think there are going to be more and more contracts written in a way that are advantageous to the school. And let me give you an example. I can't remember where I saw this, but I know at least one coach out there has in his contract that if he leaves to take another job, he cannot recruit any of the players that were on his team. Because this is what we see, right? Kurt Cignetti goes to Indiana and he
then he gets a lot of transfers in from James Madison. If Lane Kiffin took the Florida or LSU job, you would see a mass exodus from Ole Miss then to whatever new school he was taking the job. Matt Rule to Penn State, you know, all the examples. So this could be – I think what you're going to see is I think public sentiment has turned against those buyouts. Those buyouts are ridiculous. We all agree with that, especially if there's nothing attached to them really. There's no – that it's just like, yeah, you're going to get $53 million unless you get another job or whatever. Like, this is ridiculous. And we all agree it's ridiculous. I mean, the agents know it's ridiculous. I think they've got to wrap their arms around that. But as far as salaries, like Dabo Swinney can command $8 million a year or whatever it is. And if he took a new job and say somebody came after him, it would just be 10 or 12. But I do think in the contract, in the mechanics of the contract, we're going to see those things change, and they're going to try to prevent some of the exodus if a coach leaves the job, or they're going to try to limit those buyouts a little bit in the future. So I do think there's a market correction coming. I just don't think it's going to be specifically on salary.
Matt Smith, Smitty of Sports Talk Media Network, joining us right here on the Fan Upstate. Smitty, we appreciate you as always, man, and I can't tell you that enough. But I want to have a really serious conversation here as to why someone can't do something. I want you to put your thinking cap on. Three times in a row now, Shane Beamer has shown us that he cannot hire a successful offensive coordinator. Serious question.
Ooh.
Not throwing shade or anything like that, or saying Beamer's not the right guy. Why? In your mind, why hadn't Beamer been able to get it right? Is it South Carolina? Is it just the reality of coaching in Columbia, South Carolina? Everybody wants to know why, Smitty.
He would not like this answer that I'm going to give you. Because
let me text him and tell him to turn it off. Hold on.
Yeah, that's right.
All right,
yeah,
you're good.
Sure, I know he's an avid listener.
Yes.
And he will not want to hear this. And, look, I've never coached football. So, look, we can all agree with that. Shane Beamer knows more about football than I ever will. We can start there. Okay. But my humble opinion is, and it's going to echo some things that I've said to you before. What evidence do we have when he took the job that he knew how to hire an offensive coordinator? He came in with no playbook. He came in with ideas as to how to run a program. He grew up, he was around great head coaches. Obviously, his father was one. He coached Oklahoma. He coached at Mississippi State and was Sylvester Croom, who was a very accomplished coach, if not a great record because of where he was. But he was around it. And he came in and he said, look, I can be the CEO of this program. I will know what to do. But one of the things a CEO must be is then he's got to go out and make the proper hires and surround himself with the right people. And Shane Beamer crowed a lot about Dowell Loggins and the success they had offensively at the end of last year. I never really bought into it. I'm still not convinced at this moment, to this day, Dowell Loggins is a brilliant offensive play caller. I'm not convinced of that. I don't know that to be true.
Diesel,
I know some people
agree,
are convinced of it. What's that?
I said Diesel would agree, by the way, after last night. Sorry.
I never saw it. I saw Lenore Sellers develop. I saw Spencer Rattler develop. So somebody gets some of that credit, yes. But I'm not convinced that, like, somehow they were craftier, that Dow Loggins was just out coaching and fleecing these defense coordinators in the SEC. I just thought they landed two really good quarterbacks, one of whom's in the NFL and the other one probably joined him. But Shane Beamer did not come in with a playbook. He didn't come in with an offensive background that he said, okay, this is how I want I want offenses to look. So when he hires a guy, they take that shape. They become that offense. They were the Dow Loggins offense. Well, now they're the Mike Shula offense. Now they're going to be the Mike Furry offense. And Shane Beamer has not yet proven that he has strong, firm ideas. Is he a run-first guy? Is he a power spread guy? Is he a quarterback run guy? I don't know. He's kind of a combination of whatever, whoever his offensive coordinator is. And look, this is not all bad because there's Luke Fickell is at Wisconsin. He doesn't have an offensive identity, right? He's a former defensive coordinator. So you don't have to have that. But I do think at some point you have to have strong ideas about what you want your program to do, who you want, what you want them to look like, what identity do you want to take on. And you know that, and then you hire the coordinator that goes with that identity. And so far it's been the opposite. Shane Beamer has hired someone, and then the identity has been that offensive coordinator's identity, whatever it might be. And that's just my take, my 10-cent take. I'd like to see it change. And maybe Shane Beamer does have strong ideas about what he wants his offense to look like. But as of yet, all the evidence that we have points to the fact that the offense has simply been run by his coordinators, and Shane Beamer has had his hands on a lot of other things, including special teams, but not specifically offensive identity.
So, Smitty, how do you believe the process of vetting whoever that next offensive coordinator might be? Maybe it's Mike Furry. Maybe they come out and they look amazing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Over the next couple of weeks, maybe they don't. What should the process be to help Shane Beamer get it right? I mean, are we talking search firm? Are we talking Jeremiah Donati being much more hands-on? He's a fundraiser. He's not a football guy. So, So what should that process look like if the track record to this point shows that Shane Beamer is not the most adept at making that hire? Who should be involved that hasn't been used before?
Oh, well, he has to. That's the job. That's the job description. Shane Beamer has to be the one that seeks out what he wants and then makes it happen, just like a great recruiter. And he is a great recruiter. He's got to go get his man, whoever that is. I doubt, and look, it's nothing against Mike Furry. It's just that he doesn't – look, Dabo Swinney did his best work when we talked about this with Brent Venables. Brent Venables did not come in and, with Dabo Swinney and say, with Dabo Swinney, I'm going to run his defense. And then, no, Brent Venables brought his playbook. So Shane Beamer has to go out and find his guy, whomever it might be, and be, you know, willing to, I guess, swallow his pride and hire somebody that's going to get some headlines. And I don't know who that is. I don't know who that would be. But I know that Dabo Swinney did not win a lot of games and, you know, big time, the highest level until Brent Venables joined, and then he started to get a lot of credit. We talked about it before, Bobby Bowden and Mickey Andrews, his defensive coordinator, Frank Beamer had Bud Foster. Shane Beamer's got to find his guy, whoever that is, that can elevate them to the next level. I don't think anybody believed, did anybody you ever spoke with believe that Mike Shula was going to be that kind of hire, was going to be that kind of guy? I think everybody thought, well, there's a placeholder. He was already there. They're just going to try to get through this with Lenore Sellers. I think it's time that Shane Beamer says, hey, let's dedicate resources. I want to go out and get the man at offensive coordinator. And I don't know who it is. I'm not giving you names. I'm just telling you, whoever Shane Beamer, when he dreams at night of what his offense is supposed to look like, go find the guy that can make that happen. You've got to do that because that's where South Carolina is as a program. The time to tread water, that's over. You know, you're a 3-win team right now. Don't tread water. You go hard and fast and spend money at the guy you want, see if you can make this happen.
So, Smitty, with that being said, before we get to Clemson, it's safe to say this hire is make or break for Shane Beamer, and the win total in 2026 must be?
I don't know that you can put a win total on it, but I do agree that this is a big hire, because think about what you just said. Shane Beamer is now he's already hired three offensive coordinators. Is that correct?
That's correct. This will be number four.
Okay, so this will be number four. Can you imagine Shane Beamer firing a fourth offensive coordinator and everybody just saying, well, that's the way it is? No, I do. It's likely that the next person to get this job, will his destiny and Shane Beamer's destiny will be tied together. That when this next offensive coordinator leaves, if he's fired, if he were to be fired, it would be the expectation. And look, we're not near that. We're not near. The guy's even been hired, whoever he is. But the point is, yes, their destinies will be tied together. Absolutely, positively. This is an enormous hire for Shane Beamer, because can you imagine Lenore Sellers coming and going at South Carolina and the offense looking like this the whole time, like 125 yards passing per game? Can't happen. The fans won't want to put up with that. And I don't blame them. They shouldn't put up with that. That shouldn't happen at South Carolina. The offense has to look better. This is a big hire.
Smitty, in his press availability this week, Dabo Swinney said it's not stubbornness, it's conviction. And that's probably something that a lot of Clemson fans, some really enjoy, some are a little bit nervous about that. But, you know, to us, it's clear that Dabo's got to make a change in the way he does his things. So, in a very simple, Dabo does nothing on one side. Dabo goes full portal, full pay-for-play NIL, which we know he's not going to do, or some sort of hybrid in the middle that kind of allows him to dabble more in the portal and more in NIL, but do it his way. What in your mind does that kind of look like?
I think what he's going to do is, and by the way, Clemson pays its players through NIL.
Sure.
So it's not as if that's not happening. They've lost already, I think, three of their losses right now have come to teams that have lower NIL distributions than they do. So it's not as if Clemson's players aren't getting their fair share. They are.
Yeah.
But I do think he's going to explore the portal a little bit more. And to me, that's not what this is. I still think this is blocking and tackling. I was at the game. Their secondary looked completely lost against Duke. What, are there guys in the portal that they're going to coach up better than that? What sense does that make? Those guys have been, in Clemson's program, and I know Tom Allen's a new defensive coordinator there, but why are their heads not screwed on straight? Why can't they stay with Duke's receivers? Why can't they slow SMU down? Why can't they slow Duke down defensively with that level of talent? I just refuse to believe there's guys in the transfer portal that are going to come in and take Sammy Brown's job and be better at that than he is for some reason. It just doesn't make sense to me. What I think the problem is for whatever reason, and I can't put my finger on it, Dabo Swinney hired Garrett Riley, who was a red-hot name, and that didn't work until this past week. But let's remember, Duke does not have the defensive talent that Clemson has on offense to stay with those guys. And Tom Allen is a big-time name from Penn State, big-time name. And he comes in at Clemson, and his defense looks worse and more porous than Wes Goodwin's did. I don't think but you asked what is going to change. What is going to change? I think, and Cole R.A. alluded to this last week, you were right, I was wrong, Cole. I agree. Garrett Riley, I said he could save his job with some great performances, and they're making great performances, but I'm coming around more to now as many coaches are getting fired around the country, I kind of think coordinators are going to be dropping like flies, as good as Clemson's offense was last week. But what's going to change? I think Dabo Swinney, he dipped his toe in the transfer portal last year. I think he takes, four, five, six guys this go-around. I think they've got to go out and get a running back.
Yes.
I just think he's not going to want to do that again. Go into a season with unproven Adam Randall, not ready Gideon Davidson. Now, I don't know. Maybe all that will change, but the point is, if he doesn't go get a running back, it'll be some other position. And I think you're going to see Clemson start two, three, four transfer portal guys next year, And then Dabo Swinney will talk himself into it and just say, hey, these are the right kind of guys, and it's what we were looking for, and they fit right into the Clemson family, and it's business as usual. The outside will say, oh, wow, he's opened himself up to the transfer portal, but internally they'll say it's still the Clemson way. That's what I think is going to happen.
Smitty, can you help me with this? I agree with what you said, and I think there's a correlation here. You talked about Garrett Riley and Tom Allen, and both good coordinators. Why is it not working out at Clemson? Well, I can tell you my reasoning, and I would ask you, who'd Garrett Riley bring with him when he got the job? Well, who'd Tom Allen bring with him when he got the job? And your answer would be, he didn't. He's pretty much working with Dabo's good old boy assistant program. So when you talk about Smitty, when you talk about talent evaluation, I think there's a correlation, and bear with me for a second, at the low-level assistants that are underneath the coordinators not properly being able to help the head coach evaluate talent because Dabo brought in who he wanted to bring in, who were Clemson guys, nobody that was going to push back on any talent evaluation. And I agree with you on the point of Sammy Brown's not going to be replaced. But Dabo Swinney, Smitty, just a few months ago told the entire world that one of the big reasons they don't go get portal guys is because a lot of those portal guys aren't good enough to play at Clemson. So there's some sort of gap. Somebody has missed the mark in talent evaluation, and I think that ties directly to assistant coaches not being able to help the head coach know how to properly evaluate talent. Am I wrong?
You know, this is a real nuanced conversation, but no, you're not wrong. You're not wrong, and it's a nuanced conversation. I'm actually going to take it in a slightly different direction. And I don't know, you know, like who to blame, you know, position by position. Because, look, Cade Klubnik coming out, big-time recruit. You know, we all three levels of Clemson's defense is full of guys that were highly regarded recruits, right? You know, my colleague Phil Kornblut hates to talk about the stars, but these are blue-chip guys. These are four-star guys, right, on Clemson's defense. On offense, who did you want? Well, I was there. I saw him play in high school. Everybody wanted Adam Randall. Everybody wanted Antonio Williams out of Dutch Fork. They sure got him. Cade Klubnik, Elite 11 quarterback. Who didn't want Cade Klubnik? The answer is nobody. Not a damn program did not want to offer Cade Klubnik and have him on campus. Clemson got him. I don't think it's as much as you said talent evaluation. I'm actually going to twist the dial on that just a little bit. I think it's development. Is Cade Klubnik better today than he was 2 years ago?
No.
Are Clemson receivers better today than they were a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, 2 seasons ago? Is Clemson's defensive backfield, do they look better 2 years ago or this year?
That's a good point.
I think it's development. I think the raw materials were there, and for some reason these guys didn't get better. And you're right, though. I'm not going to name names because I don't know. I don't go to practice. But you're right on the money, Cole, when you say if somebody's got to say what changed at Clemson, what's not good enough, position coaches. And by the way, this is nobody talks about them. We talked about head coach salaries. We talked about getting the red-hot coordinator and destinies tied to those guys. It's all built on the foundation of the guys that are your position coaches.
That's
that are
right
with those players every single day. And the teams that are winning, the ones that are in the top 10 in college football, are the ones who are succeeding at that level Monday through Thursday on the practice field. And Clemson is not. Cole, I can't argue with you at all. I just want to use the word kind of development there.
Yeah, I like that.
Smitty, we are going to come back to you for your upset pick here in just a minute, but my last question for you, and I want to ask you a big picture question because I know you're going to have a strong opinion on this. Okay, a deal fell through that would have sent the barn burner matchup of Michigan versus Western Michigan in Frankfurt, Germany, brought that game back to Ann Arbor, Michigan, and they're just going to play it on campus. Ward Manuel said that they did a thorough and exhaustive evaluation, but decided to keep the game stateside. What are your thoughts on that? And just generally speaking about, you know, some of these programs trying to send more and more American college football games overseas, thus screwing the local fans that are the lifeblood of college football.
Yep. Look, Chris Bergen, another one of my colleagues, does sports talk. He makes a pretty good point when you see the frenzied atmosphere on college campuses every Saturday for college football. I know why they're doing it. It's about growing the sport, all of those things. And I know Notre Dame goes to Ireland and all those things, and it's important for the kids. But if you ask me, I love them on campus. You want to go somewhere exotic? How about this? South Carolina and Miami just canceled a series with each other. South Carolina hasn't been on, played Miami or Florida since the 80s. That would be exotic. More of those. More of those, less games in Germany.
Smitty, upset pick?
I'm going, and by the way, I'm going to brag here. I got another one last week, got SMU. So, you guys, now you can tail me if you want. Feeling good. Upset pick, I'm going Missouri. I know they're down a quarterback, but to me, Mizzou's one of those teams. They're not built on quarterback play. Mizzou is going to upset Texas A&M. It's such a hard place to play, such a strange place to play. Weird things happen at Mizzou. I know how well Texas A&M has played. I just feel like at some point, Texas A&M played this well every single week. They can't hold the rope for 10, 11, 12 games. I think they're ripe for an upset, and I think Mizzou has the run game and the defense and the atmosphere to pull it off.
Smitty, you're the man. Always appreciate you, man. Thank you for going a little long with us today, and we will talk to you next week, buddy.
Absolutely. You kiss that Freddie Freeman poster you got there behind you. Give it a big kiss.
Smitty, Sports Talk Media Network. Make sure you follow his work. Does a fantastic job, and so much appreciate him joining us on the show.
Such good stuff, Cole. We didn't have a chance to get to him earlier, and we have a ton of Daily Wires, so let's do that next. Our Daily Wires whip around the sports world on the other side of the break on the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.